Listen.
Hello?
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Next Fan Up, the podcast by the fans for the fans. I'm Justin, your Seahawks super fan. This is a post-Super Bowl special edition. I am here with your Super Bowl teams. We're going to start with the winner, James, the Eagle super fan. How you feeling right now, buddy?
I am feeling completely elated, overjoyed, cloud nine, all the euphoric metaphors you can throw out there. That's what I'm feeling right now. This has been a long time coming, and to finally see it happen has been more than exhilarating. I mean, even at the end when it looked like it was still in doubt, and it was, because Tom Brady-led teams are never completely out of a game, no matter what the clock reads. Until it reads 000, the game is never really over going against that guy. But this has been the most exhilarating thing, like, in a while for the entire Eagles franchise, basically. Our first Super Bowl is just awesome.
All right, taking all these kicks while he's down, the most decorated of super fans and our showrunner, the producer himself, Jay Soderberg, a.k.a. Pod Vader. How you feeling right now?
Yeah, this is not a feeling I'm accustomed to. You know, I've really only felt this once after a Super Bowl. There was a Super Bowl that didn't happen that everyone alleges occurred. Then there was another one where the Giants actually won. I don't know what it is with these NFC East teams, man. It's ridiculous. But, you know, dilly-dilly, Philly, dilly-dilly.
Philly-Philly is what it is now. It's Philly-Philly.
Class act as always. All right, so we're just going to kind of play this one by ear. The game just ended literally minutes ago. They're still doing there's still confetti raining from the rooftops. So we're going to play this a bit by ear. I'm going to go ahead and start off with you, Jay, because I think we've got a little bit more of a time limit on you. Why don't you just go ahead and give us your thoughts on this game, just hot take style, like right after it's over.
Well, I mean, what's funny is I had said during our preview that Ryan Allen, it's going to be nice that you're here to show up, but we're not going to need you this time around. And I just didn't realize that Donnie Bagabones Jones was also not going to be necessary in this particular ball game either, with only the one punt. You know, listen, we've been talking about this all along, and I said I got a little teaser here for James before we started recording, and I'm coming right out with it. QB controversy in Philly, my friend. You've got the Super Bowl MVP as your backup, and you've got the kid that brought you there. I mean, no one's giving up a first-round pick for Nick Foles, but, I mean, Nick Foles, I mean, they've clearly found something that works with the guy.
Man, if that was any worse of a hot take, you would have a show with Stephen A. Smith, Jay. You know that?
Right. There's no way it's going to be controversy. This is Wentz's team. Foles knows it's Wentz's team. I mean, this is quite possibly the greatest postseason run by a backup quarterback ever. I mean, Hostetler did great when they beat the Bills way back when. Doug Williams played lights out in his Super Bowl, but for a three-game stretch, division around, conference title, Super Bowl, I don't think any backup quarterback has performed this well.
I don't know. I think Jay might know a kid who went on to win five Super Bowls after going to the postseason as a backup quarterback.
Whatever. Wait. Jay, are you guys still paying Mo Lewis for knocking out Drew Bledsoe?
No. Oh. Listen, my friend. You won a Super Bowl, but you just went over the line, all right?
Apologies. I'm a simmer down. I know Drew is your guy. I know you love Drew more than Tom. I know that.
Listen, you know, what I think is interesting about this game is, you know, a lot of the things we talked about in the preview, both James and I got right. You know, James talked about the coaching was going to be an X factor. That the trick play, now I don't know if that trick play was something that Philadelphia already had in their bag of tricks and were planning on using anyway, or they decided to use it because they saw the Patriots do it earlier on. It was almost like, oh, you think you can do it? Well, we can do it too. And by the way, we can do it
well. Doug Peterson interviewed it. Well, Jay, Doug Peterson interviewed at halftime, mentioned that, that's something they put in after the regular season. So it's only been in for the playoffs, and they just never really found the right time to use it until tonight.
Well, so can we all agree definitively that Nick Foles is a better wide receiver than Tom Brady?
Yes. Yes. I don't think that was a question coming into the game.
As soon as the ball went off of Brady's fingertips, I said, well, that's why he's a quarterback and not a wide receiver. I mean, come on now. But there was that. There was the constant carousel at running back, and not just with Ajayi and Blunt, but also Clement, which, honestly, one of the things that we did fail to bring up during the preview is the Patriots do struggle with those shorter, the faster, quicker type scat backs, if
running
you will,
back.
The pace backs.
Yeah.
You know, that is something that the Patriots do struggle with, and they struggled with this evening. I thought, you know, big, bold call, not just on that touchdown pass, but that going for it on fourth down. How many did they go for and convert twice on fourth down in this game, James?
Pulling that up, let's see. Where is it? Fourth down conversions. Yes, 2 for 2 on fourth down tonight.
I mean, that's just huge. And that's just knowing your opponent. They know you've got Tom Brady.
And knowing your own personnel.
And as James said, you know, until that clock is at quadruple zeros, I'll correct you. Until the clock's at quadruple zeros, you know, this game is not over. And the Patriots have a chance. And they really, I mean, that was a – clearly they're not ever going to throw a flag on a Hail Mary pass. That ball went up in the air, and the Patriots still had a chance on the rebound to make a play and just came up short. Philip Dorsett, I saw, was down there on the ground, and then Amendola got the ball on the bounce. And unfortunately, you have to catch it before the bounce. This is not tennis.
So speaking of the referees, though, there's a couple of calls that I think are going to be discussed a little bit coming out of this game. You know, a lot of the talk going in, and I am certainly as guilty of it as anybody else, is making jokes about all the favorable calls that tend to go the Patriots' way. But that was not the case today, was it, Jay?
Well, the second one, I thought Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth finally brought it back and made a good point that he was, in fact, a runner. And as soon as he was a runner, the ball only has to cross the plane. And
that was the Zach Ertz touchdown you're referring to?
Zach Ertz,
yeah. He established himself with, I think he had 3 steps before he got tripped up by, I believe it was McCourty.
And then
he made the dive into the end zone, hit the ground. What was funny is, you know, like, oh, well, even though the ball went up, he still caught it. But no, it hit the ground. But because he was a runner, he already crossed the plane. I think that's just getting way too confusing. To me, that was a touchdown anyway. The first one, though, according to everything I've seen all season, that first one was not a touchdown. He did not have possession of the football. He was out of bounds. That one should have been overturned. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know how you make it clear and not clear, but they've got some work to do in that department for sure.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that first one too, James? That was one where I think it was Clement caught the ball. Looked to me like he was clearly bobbling it before he got 1 foot in, and 1 foot very clearly had a toe outside.
No, because I'm looking at the replay again right now in post-game. He caught the ball. It was pinned to his bicep. He took 2 steps. After that, yes, then the ball moves slightly before his third foot comes down, which is out of bounds. But the first 2 steps when he catches the ball are in bounds. The ball doesn't move. That's a touchdown by rule.
I'm going to see that
one again. You have to go back and look at that and check where the steps are, because as soon as he catches the ball, that back foot goes down. I believe it's the right foot taps, then the left foot, and then the right foot grazes the inline after the ball is jostled.
Yeah, I think you're looking at through green tinted glasses right now.
I'm being as objective as possible right here, trying not to be a homer. And no, I'm serious. And yes, the ball does move, but not before he takes two steps. And at that point, he already established that he had possession. I mean, he's readjusting at that point. But in real time, the thing is, you need irrefutable evidence to overturn that. And that's on the referee and the New York office to come up with that. If they felt they didn't have it, the play stands.
Yeah, I think By the way, I mentioned that it's not, you know, 100% totally certain. And so you just keep the call on the field, but I don't know.
By the way, I mentioned during the preview that I was concerned that it was not the New York offices, and it was not. Al Riveron was in the stadium. So they were doing the replay calls somewhere in the stadium. And that's a problem. If you're going to do the replay calls from New York, then they should be in New York. Too bad, Al Riveron. You don't get to go to the Super Bowl. You have to stay in the offices in New York City.
To the pit of misery. Dilly dilly.
going back to the coaching, I did think that it was odd that the way the Patriots called the last plays of this game, the fact that there wasn't a sack the entire game until Brandon Graham comes up with that strip sack.
Right.
It, first of all, is huge. But the fact that the Patriots were in a position where Brady could get strip sacked. I mean, they managed that defensive line the entire game, and for whatever reason, they changed up what they were doing and what they were calling. And what was driving me nuts is on the replays, and by the way, NBC's replays sucked tonight. They did not show the right replays.
They were not great
at all. But when you did see a good replay, there was so much open field for Patriot wide receivers to be running in, and it was just driving me nuts. The other thing that was driving me nuts, Brady was not on his game tonight. You know, so many times he had a wide open Gronk up the seam and just could not get on the same page with Gronk. And I don't know if that's a fact of they didn't practice it all together, you know, over the course of these last 2 weeks. That's going to be my guess, is Gronk being out and clearly Brandon Cooks getting out with that illegal headhunting shot. I'm totally, by the way.
Wait.
Joking about
what?
That. It was not an illegal headhunting shot. But after they lost Brandon Cooks, I mean, clearly a different game plan had to go in, and Brady just could not get on the same page with Gronk until the second half. By then, it was just a matter of, you know, the Eagles had that lead, and it was just a little too much for the Patriots to maintain once they finally got the lead.
So,
indeed. And you mentioned your wide receivers running wide open. Trust me, every time there was a crossing route, it seemed like no matter whether it was Amendola or Chris Hogan, before he got knocked out the game, Cooks, anytime they ran a crossing route, those guys pretty much seemed to have nobody within 10 yards of them. And I'm trying to figure out, what are we doing in the back end of this defense with the safeties? You know, everybody knew that coming in that the strategy was going to be to get the pass rush with our front four, not blitz, and play man across the board. We had the personnel to do that. It was done. I didn't understand mixing in zone for any reason whatsoever against Tom Brady, because, as we all know, Tom Brady destroys zone coverage. And it's the one thing that doesn't really work.
And the brilliant move, again, another brilliant coaching move by the Eagles, Malcolm Jenkins on the running back. I mean, that was another great defensive call there by
like
the
every Eagles. Running back.
And the Patriots never made an adjustment to it.
All right, special guest appearance by the official Patriots super fan, because obviously the Patriots super homer fan is the guy who runs the show, is Patrick. Patrick, you just jumped in. I'm going to throw it right to you. Quick thoughts. You just saw the game wrap up. Where's your head at right now?
Where is our defense? Oh, my God. Like, Tom Brady throws for 500 yards in a football game and doesn't win? That's ridiculous.
Patriots,
how are you guys
first
doing?
Since 1960 to lose a game in which they never once punted.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. No, that's right. Our punter actually did have a major impact on the game when he muffed the hold. Who muffs a hold?
Mm. By the way, the best quarterback in this game by passer rating, Trey Burton, 118.18.
I hate you. Shouldn't you be in the middle of a riot right now?
I live in Atlanta. Trust me, if I lived in Philadelphia, I would not be on the phone right now.
You know what? James can see the flame from your window.
We should preemptively send FEMA. All right, Patrick, I want to get you up to speed because I want to get your thoughts in here. So just real quick, what are your thoughts on the hit that knocked out Cooks and on the referee calls that did not go your way? Go.
Well, I mean, the hit that knocked out Cooks is kind of on Cooks. I don't know what the hell he was doing out there. But it's the exact opposite of the good advice of Hines Ward of keeping your head on a swivel. Like, he was
pirouetting
out
there.
That's what I was
thinking.
Just begging to get hit. Like, that's on him, man. Like, but hey, how about Tom Brady for throwing for 500 yards without his number one wide receiver even on the field, because the guy's probably in a medical center somewhere. That might not be funny. He might really be dead. Like, he got hit real hard. And then in terms of the calls not going our way, yeah, it's real bad. In terms of the calls not going our way, okay, there was a pretty clear bobble in the end zone that, you know, should have been called a non-catch. But can I say that was a turning point in the game? No, not really. The refs didn't decide this game. Like, and we can't really pretend that they did, right? Like, the balls were flying everywhere, all kinds of offense, no defense from basically anybody. Like, that's the reason why we lost the game. It, like, can't put it on the refs at all.
All right, so while I've got the three of you, I really want to focus in on the last few minutes of the game, because to me, this whole part was really interesting. The Patriots are up by, what, I want to say one. The Eagles, they drive down, and with a little over 2 minutes, they score the touchdown, right? Elect to go for two, and as they did previously, they did not make it. So at this point, Eagles are up by. Get out of here with that. Okay, that's pass interference, but that should have been a touchdown. Come on. Anyway. So a little over 2 minutes, and I want to say one timeout left. So at this point, I'm going to start with you, James. How confident are you that the Eagles are going to keep that lead? Like, where's your barometer at we're going to lose this game at that point?
I pretty much resigned myself. Like I said before, a game with Tom Brady in it is not over until the clock hits all zero. And I'm like, defense has to come up and make a play, somebody, anybody do something. In the first half, I don't know how we took Gronkowski out of the game in the first half, but in the second half, whatever that plan was, completely fell apart. Gronk had, what's the stat here, 116 yards. I'm pretty sure all but eight of that was in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, I think Josh McDaniels contained Rob Gronkowski in the first half. But I want to keep moving through this.
Wait, what was your key to the game? James, what was your key to the game again? Second half adjustments?
Yeah, whoever makes the better adjustments.
Apparently not the game.
Right. Because offenses still went nuts. So Tom Brady driving and everything, and the play that turns it is the strip sack by Brandon Graham. And
right, but you're getting ahead of me, so I'm going to stop you right there. Okay. All right, I got a mute button. Don't make me use it. All right, so Jay, I want to go to you with the same question, right? Your Patriots just get the ball back, more than 2 minutes to go. You still have a timeout. You're down by five. Where's your confidence meter at this point?
It's at about, let's see, if we're going to say, like, 50% is go either way, 100% I'm feeling, you know, we've won the game, 0% we've lost the game. I'm going to say at that point, I'm at about 65-70% that we're going to win the game.
All right, same question to you, Patrick.
Cautiously optimistic because there's no defense on the field, right? Like, obviously you don't want to be in that situation, you know, down by a score, you know, with limited time left. But if everybody's scoring all the time, like, I'd rather have the ball than not. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. As you know, as a guy who not a fan of either team, I feel like at that point, you know, I'm looking over at my wife, cause she knows I hate the Patriots. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to get mad. This has been a good game. It's been entertaining. It went down to the wire, so I'm not going to get upset when they score and win the game here. Because to me, I'm like 85, 90%. Like, I'm pretty sure where this game's going to go. And then, was it the first play of the series? Strip sack. So James, you go from feeling okay, but you feel like you're going to lose. So maybe you're like a 40% to win. Where does that take you? Like, just that strip sack alone.
The strip sack was huge. And it wasn't the first play. I think it was a couple of plays into the drive. I can't remember what the sequence was, if they got a first down or not. But it's pretty much the one time they didn't do what they had set out to do on offense the entire night, which was have Gronkowski and the running back chip the ends on both sides. Every single pass play, 48 pass attempts by Tom Brady tonight. On every single pass play, Gronkowski and whoever's in the backfield at running back, whether it's Burkhead, White, or Lewis, they chip the end because of the double team on the interior.
Wasn't it the tackle that got the sack?
Actually, no. It was Brandon Graham who was lined up.
No,
it was Brandon Graham who was the defensive end.
But
he was lined up at tackle. Yeah, but that's our speed rush package. It's Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Chris Long, and Derek Barnett. That's our best pass rushing defensive line alignment with Graham on the interior. And Graham loops around Cox to get the push inside and strip sacks Brady. But it's the one time that the defensive ends don't get chipped. So there is pressure up the outside where Brady can't slide, and he's stuck in the middle as Graham pushes in. And initially when the play happens, I didn't even see Brandon Graham get pushed up. You get the push on the inside because he kind of disappeared amongst all the white jerseys in there. And then the ball's loose and Derek Barnett has it, and he's spinning around, you know, being spun to the ground by a Patriots offensive lineman. I probably screamed so loud at that point that I may have like lost my voice almost and like completely forgot where I was. But it's that one play though. They just didn't chip. The chip was going on all night. And that one play, they didn't chip, because my thing was, if they're chipping the edges to allow Tom Brady extra time to get the ball downfield, the secondary should be up in press man, at least on the outside wide receivers, and they weren't doing that. Everybody was backed off 3 to 5 yards in every single pass play, basically giving them free releases. There was like maybe one or two batted balls in the first half, but in the second half, you just let them run crazy. And that was probably the most puzzling thing that I saw on that replay, was that there was no chip whatsoever. So
yeah, that was the biggest mistake of the game right there. That play, whatever they called on that play was the biggest mistake the Patriots made of the game, obviously. Hey, listen, guys, you guys are in capable hands. I'm going to leave you guys here, but there's a couple things that I need to say. One, Ring Rust Radio, we owe you. Donald Wood, we will definitely pay up on the wager that we made, and we will mention your show on our podcast for at least the next 2 months. And two, I will be shaving my loser beard tomorrow with the free trial shave kit that you can get yourself at harrys.com/nextfanup. Not only will I be using the wonderful man-smelling shaving cream to help me shave off this loser beard, I will also use my tears to help soften
really
the hairs.
Todd, if really, you want to just use the raspberry cream?
Maybe I should. Maybe I should use the raspberry cream. That should be my punishment for it. But I will not use any other blade other than a Harry's blade, because I know that the engineering that they put into it, the German engineering, is done in a way that will protect my face. So I don't have to, you know, scratch my face up as a punishment. But maybe I have to make my face smell like a raspberry. That might be a good call there, Patrick.
No, that's cool.
Todd, you got 5 cents.
Eagles fans,
you can't be too upset.
Eagles fans, for your parade, feel free to get some Harry's blades to throw from your parade floats into the crowd in true Philadelphia fashion.
That's right.
Glad you're
right.
Jay needs
Harry's
to go. So guys,
harrys.com/nextfanup to get those free trial shave kits. All you have to do is pay for shipping, Philadelphia fans. There you go. harrys.com/nextfanup. As I said before, dilly dilly Philly. Or Philly, whatever way you prefer, James. Hats off to you. Enjoy it.
Guys won. Better team won.
I like to say F Philly.
Thanks, Jay.
All right, so thank you to Podvader. Big thank you to Harry's Razors for providing a razor he can use to shade his beer out of shame. Good enough razors that he will not be adding any injury to that insult. So thank you, Jay.
Oh, well done.
Good night, everybody. Good night, Jay.
All right, Pat. Let's keep things moving. I want to go back to you. So same thing. You know, you're feeling pretty good. You're fairly optimistic because your offense has never once been stopped in this game. You got the ball, and then all of a sudden, in a flash, Philly's got the ball back. So where's your head at? Where's your confidence at? Are you thinking the game's over? Are you doing the math on how much time you can get?
Yes and yes. Yes and yes. I'm like, oh man. There goes the game. Oh, wait a minute. How many timeouts do we have? Okay, well, I guess we theoretically have another possession left, but I am not happy about this situation right now because I can see us coming up short. And then they ran that ridiculous reverse on the kick return. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you trying to make this, one, take longer, and two, most likely result in worse field position, both of which happened? You know, like that. With all due respect to Jay, that was the worst call of the game. You know, where you're trying to preserve clock and gain like any advantage you can in terms of yards, and you run a stupid reverse on the kick return. That's really what
I was kind of building to was like for me, I was like, okay, I think the Patriots are definitely going to win. That's just how these things go. Holy crap! Look at what just happened. Oh my God, the Eagles have won. Game is over. Start doing the math. Wait, hold on. If they go 3 and out. They're going to get the ball back with like a minute to go, and they can tie it up with one with, you know, a touchdown and a two pointer, which is really similar to last year. I'm like, I've seen this song and dance before. Oh my, they're so at this point, I'm 50-50, like throw a coin up in the air. And then what follows after that, starting from that kickoff, is probably the worst decision-making I think I have seen out of the Patriots this year. Everything that followed from the second that football left his foot to the terrible like trickery they try and go for to the play calling that almost loses them the game on their first four attempts to finally at least getting in range to take a Hail Mary. That was terrible, terrible football. Patrick, am I wrong here in just kicking your team while I'm down, or are you with me on that?
I'm with you on that. I was wondering what McDaniels was doing in that particular series, like just trying to make the burn of him leaving for Indianapolis feel a little bit less vicious, I guess. Like that's
a parting
not a
gift.
Fond parting memory.
Yeah. Yeah. So
well, on the flip side, yeah. I'm looking at that as well. And yes, you could say bad play calling on your side, but from my perspective, with my defense on the field. And I know this is something we do at the end of games where we have a lead and a team has to go the length of the field to either get a field goal or a touchdown. We play what's called sticks defense, meaning the four down linemen and pretty much 2 to 3 safeties, 20 yards downfield, and everybody else lined up at the first down marker to basically stop, you know, lined up over their respective man. It was horrible because now you have Gronkowski who's staying in like half those plays to chip the defensive end. And then he's basically the only man wide open because I guess whoever's checking him didn't account for him still being on the field because he gets downfield for like 3 straight catches running out of bounds. And yeah, that could have all been over early if somebody had actually paid attention to where he was. Like if anything, he should have been manned up from the start and everybody else could have played sticks, but they completely lost track of Gronkowski, 3 straight passes to the right side, up the sideline, 7-8 yards at a pop, and just running out of bounds, just to preserve the clock to, you know, get you all in position to throw that last desperation heave. But up until that point, from my perspective, I'm yelling at the screen, like, why is no one checking Gronk? You guys are just, like, I get it, it sticks defense, but no one's watching Gronkowski. Like, the one guy who can basically just slip under the radar, if you will, but I don't understand how, considering he's like 6'8" and 300 some odd pounds, rumbling downfield wide open just made no sense whatsoever.
So at what point, James, did you feel like you had the game won? Was it not until that Hail Mary? Was it when?
Yes.
Was it after
yes,
those
it was actually when the it was after the clock read all zero, because on a Hail Mary, I didn't even know if the clock had expired or not. Tom Brady drops back, and Brandon Graham again gets through, gets a hold of him, slips off, and I know Patriot fans don't want to hear this, but it looked like Eli Manning, you know, in that Super Bowl where you have players draped all over him. He steps up and makes a heave to the end zone. And the first thing I'm thinking is, oh my gosh, how many people are down there? Do we have enough folks to bat it down? Is Alshon Jeffrey on the field? Because maybe he can bat the ball down. And Patriots go up for the ball. Eagle players go up for the ball. It's bobbling around. And even when it hits the ground, I'm still thinking, oh gosh, is it time left on the clock? Like, what just happened here? It wasn't until the referee actually said the game is over that I was actually excited. Up until that point, I didn't know what was going on from like that last play, because it looked like Tom and them, you know, Tom and the offense was going to take one more shot to the sideline and get a little closer for the Hail Mary. We all knew it was coming, but we didn't think it was coming on that play with 9 seconds left. At that point, you figure you have maybe one play before you have to throw it deep into the end zone.
What about you, Patrick? Were you still a believer up to that, to the clock's reading zeros, or was there a certain point where you're like, yeah, man, this just isn't going to happen, is it?
Oh no, man, you got to believe up until the clock reaches zeros. Like, it's your team in the Super Bowl with like Tom Brady playing, but like there's no reason to believe that they can't do it. Like, yeah, it's probably not going to happen, but like it, like you can't go in there, like James is saying, until it's straight zeros. That's still a football game.
All right, so I want to read out a couple of stat lines, because to me, like some of these are kind of telling, kind of interesting. Nick Foles was 28 of 43, 373 yards for 3 touchdowns and an interception. Really good game. Tom Brady, 28 of 48 for 505 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. The headline on ESPN, as soon as you go there, is Foles outduels Brady. I think that's a bunch of hogwash.
No, that didn't happen.
Are you accusing ESPN of dubious journalism or slander against Tom Brady?
I'm just
making stuff up that isn't factually correct.
I don't remember the Patriots punting tonight. Did I miss something? Did the Patriots punt tonight? I mean, I know one drive ended in a missed field goal. There was a missed extra point. Did we get – I can't remember in the first half. Did we get you all on downs at one point or no?
I don't believe so.
Okay, so yeah, so that didn't happen. So basically it looked like Tom Brady basically shredded my defense. And if it weren't for the offense, I mean, basically this looked like Nick Foles' first start against the New York Giants after Carson Wentz went down. And the defense did us no favors until Brandon Graham got the strip sack on Tom Brady. Like, up until that point, they really didn't help out. I mean, the missed field goal was huge because we turned around and we scored a touchdown right after that, because we scored a touchdown before they attempted that field goal. That was huge. But then again, you know, we had to do the trick play at the end of the half, because we knew that if we kicked the field goal when Tom Brady got the ball back, we'd probably be down points instead of still being up after they score coming out the half. And sure enough, Tom Brady comes out, marches his offense down the field, scores a touchdown. So I don't understand what ESPN saw, but Nick Foles did not outduel Tom Brady by no stretch of the imagination. Yes, you want your MVP to go to the best player that performed on the winning team. Say that. Nick Foles wins MVP and Eagles win. But to say he outdueled Tom Brady is a gross exaggeration.
I would say that Nick Foles defeated a litany of Patriots defensive backs who are lying on the ground instead of tackling somebody. That's what Nick Foles defeated. If you can fit all of that in one headline, awesome. Otherwise, you go with the five-letter response of Brady, and you know that carries more cachet, and that's why ESPN does it. Because everybody knows Brady, and no one knows like five anonymous defensive backs who can't seem to tackle anybody. Even though, James, you and I talked at length in podcasts that never aired about how one of the strengths of the Patriots team was their defensive back's ability to tackle. Didn't happen tonight.
Yeah, it did not. Nelson Aguilar got loose, who was one of my key factors on the Thursday show. 9 catches, 84 yards. But you mentioned your defensive backs. You know, the big story in New England come tomorrow and pretty much for the entire offseason is going to be why Malcolm Butler was benched tonight.
All I can think of is I bet he was handing out resumes and game tape to everybody in Philadelphia saying like, hey man, hey, can you sign me? I'm going to be a free agent in like a week. You know, like that's all I can think of that he would have to do to get benched for the Super Bowl as a starter.
I mean, the NFL equivalent of when you walk past like a SoundCloud rapper on the street and they're handing out their like mix CD to everybody.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably out there at the sandwich board.
Former Eagles draftee Eric Rowe gets a start. They line him up over Alshon Jeffrey, and Nick Foles basically just torches him in the entire first half. And the Patriots make the adjustment in the second half to put Stephon Gilmore on Alshon Jeffrey and pretty much shut him down for the entirety of the second half. Save maybe one catch, but after like the first two attempts didn't go their way, especially in the end zone, they just stopped throwing that way, and they used basically everybody else, all of the tight ends, Corey Clement, Nelson Aguilar pretty much became the focal point of the offense, and Jeffrey was just out there as a decoy to take Gilmore out of the scheme of the defense, and everybody else was still fair game. But you figure if Butler's out there, this is maybe a completely different game. I mean, they showed that, like, I feel like that's going to be like the biggest story in New England aside from the outcome of the game, you know, from here to the start of next season, because no one knows. I mean, they announced that it was a coach's decision, but what really went into that coach's decision? You know, you feel like something happened before the game started, you know, maybe late last night, early this morning, or even during pregame for Belichick to make that call. I mean, guy is arguably one of your best corners.
Yeah, well, he clearly is. He started the whole year. Like, the only thing I can possibly think of other than, like, indecision because of some kind of violation of team rules or perceived slight is size, right? So, like, if you take him out and you're playing Rowe, you're playing Gilmore, you put Johnson Bademosi out there, then you got three big defensive backs, you know, playing up that matchup against a big wide receiving core. Like, and that, in theory, on paper, makes sense. Like, what doesn't make sense, again, is why you take your number one defense, your number one corner out of the game. Like, just straight up, we're going to have you play on some special teams, but you're not going to see the field, like, playing defensive snaps. We're more confident in Johnson Bademosi. Like, that's insane. And I definitely do want to get an explanation on that. And it would be different if we just lost, you know, 13-10, but that's not what happened. We just got our asses destroyed on defense. So yeah, we're gonna have some questions about why our like arguably best defensive back, is sitting on the sideline. And Justin, you remember this guy, right? You think he's a good guy that you want to have at the end
never,
of the
heard of
game?
Him. Yeah, never, yeah. Don't know what you're talking
about. No. That's low.
Easy. Hey, Pat, I got a mute button for you. All right. Don't
make me. I deserve that. That was uncalled for.
That's fine. You're in the pit of ministry. You just want to bring me down with you. All right.
No, dude, I still got five rings. I'm okay.
Yeah, I was about to say you can't.
Steelers have six, but we still laugh at them. All right, James. Final thoughts on the game. The game proper. The game itself. Go.
Excellent game from, if you wanted offensive football tonight, which no one really expected, because we all expected somebody's defense to show up and maybe something be in the 20s. But if you were looking for high-powered offenses going up and down the field, big plays, this was probably the best postseason game this season. Outcome in my favor, superbly excellent, wonderful. They made the necessary adjustments on offense when the Patriots made adjustments on defense coming out of halftime. Like I said, it was going to be a key. They didn't make the adjustments on defense coming out in the second half because Gronkowski reemerged from, let's just call it the pit of misery from the first half. One catch, 8 yards, finished with 9 for 118. And he was everywhere on the field in the second half. Defense just didn't show up until the very end of the game where a play needed to be made by somebody on defense, and the defensive line came through with the strip sack, the recovery, give us the extra 3 points to cushion the lead and you know, allow the offense to take more time off the clock. In a nutshell, awesome game from beginning to end. I even if we had lost, I mean, I couldn't have been mad at the effort because the offensive staff, Frank Reich, our offensive coordinator, head coach Doug Peterson, they did any and everything to put Nick Foles in a position to win the game tonight, and it was truly amazing.
All right, Patrick, same question to you. Final thoughts before we move on to a couple other things.
I played defensive end in high school and safety in college, and just every part of me that knows and understands football hated that stupid football game. You know, like, yeah.
You and me
if
both.
If you bet the over, yeah, I bet if you bet the over, I'm sure it was great. But, like, as a – and if you watch football once a year, like, because you're also interested mostly in the commercials, but you'll watch the game, too, in the background. If a big, exciting thing happens, you want to yell, this was your kind of Super Bowl. But if you're, like, a fan of the game and the X's and the O's, you know, like this isn't the game for you. Like this is just a bunch of offense with no defense whatsoever from either team.
Quick shout out to the Philadelphia receivers who, at least especially in the first half, made some really tough catches. So I appreciate that. Alshon Jeffery, I think, was the most impactful three catch performance you can have if you don't have a bunch of touchdowns, because I think he was a big impact on keeping Philadelphia up early. And yeah, man, this game probably set defensive football back more than two full seasons with the Ryan brothers. Like, that is how bad defense was in this game.
Ouch.
All right. All right. So in the interest of human interest, let's talk a little bit about the production, the stuff around the game. How did you guys like the overall production itself?
I thought it was top notch. I thought it was really good this year.
What about you, James?
Al Michaels is always poignant and wonderful when he broadcasts the game. Chris Collinsworth, on the other hand, and I know we've probably talked about this ad nauseum in previous podcasts, especially during postseason games or even the Sunday night games.
It bears repeating. He's awful.
Chris Collinsworth, I don't know if his head is so far up his rear that he can't see straight, or that he just loves slurping a winner for no other reason that they win, but objectivity is not his strong suit. Like, any and everything he said should happen tonight, the opposite happened.
Yes.
The entire game. Like, defenses should totally win this game right now. Didn't happen. Tom Brady's going to hit Gronkowski all over the field at will. Not in the first half. You know, the defense of the Patriots is going to do things to confuse Nick Foles. Not really.
Right. I mean, was certain those calls were going to get overturned. They were not.
I think it was worse than that, guys. I honestly think it does, because at least on two, you're talking about things that, like, he should have some sort of prescience about because he really knows and understands the football. So he should expect us to know what's happening next based on his experience. On at least two separate occasions, he lauded somebody and said what an amazing job they just did. And, like, they very clearly feel bad. And then they showed the replay with him still guffing and guffawing over it. And, like,
exactly.
Like, there's a guy on the ground pounding his fist into the dirt because he just missed a tackle or just, like, overthrew somebody, you know? It's like he did it at least twice and, like, kept going on and on and on and on. You think, like, Al Michaels would have kicked him under the table or something. Like, dude, what game are you watching? This didn't happen.
Exactly.
Any thoughts on the national anthem?
I did not catch the national anthem.
Also missed it.
Ah, me too. Shoot, I was hoping somebody could chime in with that. Quick Google search says that it was fine.
It was
how
fine.
About the halftime show? I'm sure we were all locked and loaded by that time. I thought Justin Timberlake
was good.
The halftime show was good. It wasn't great. It didn't really wow me. I particularly only watched the halftime show because rumors came out yesterday that Justin was going to do some type of tribute to Prince, considering he passed away last year and they're
from
in
Minnesota,
which is his home state. Yeah. So there was a nice touch where he had the banner flowing, where he sat down at the piano and he did a little bit of one of Prince's songs.
Not only did a bit of it, he made a duet out of it. I thought that was a really classy touch, and I thought that was really, really well done.
Yeah, very well done.
Pretty well done.
The best part was when they showed the footage outside the stadium and they had the area around the stadium lit up in purple in
the
shape of Prince's symbol.
Exactly. Basically turned the city purple at that part. That was excellent.
That was probably the best part of his performance. Other than that, it was just it's Justin Timberlake out there. He didn't bring out any special guests or anything.
See, that's what I like, though. I like that it wasn't, you know, here's 800 people in cameos for 3 seconds as we play four notes of their song. Here's 90 random musicians all singing along badly to Walk This Way.
Oh, look, it's Tito Jackson.
It's not so much that. I was expecting him to at least bring out a few members of NSYNC and do one NSYNC song. He did none. All the songs he did were from, you know, his solo career. And that's the way he chose to do it. Cool. I know a lot of people were probably expecting him to do something where, like, Janet Jackson was going to be a surprise guest to kind of, like, pay back her for, you know, when she brought him out for her performance when she did Super Bowl 38, Patriots and Panthers.
He did open with that song.
Yeah, he did open with the song, but, I mean, she wasn't there, so... maybe she declined.
The last thing I needed was for her to saunter out and rip down the front of his drawers and see that he's got his business bedazzled.
Yeah. You know, though, like, I don't need to have him come out and reenact that with her 15 years older than she used to be.
No, I don't think back then. I don't think they would have planned anything like that this time around, considering all the flack that was given out last time.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, but, like, they seem to have smaller, more minimalistic stages and sets. Like, it was just a little bit smaller, and I kind of like that. Like the Uber spectacle, I don't know. I think that gets tired. Like, maybe bring it back next year, but something a little bit more compact this year, I think, was a nice change of pace.
I will say it was wonderful in its simplicity.
Yeah, I agree with that. Any standout commercials? Anything that you guys saw that you thought was really excellent?
Nah, because you know what? Half the commercials actually leaked on Facebook this week, so I saw quite a few of them. Like the Alexa commercial, the commercial with
Hold on. I got to stop. Wait. So you are telling me you willingly went out and watched commercials? Like, your destination viewing was commercials?
No, these commercials showed up in my feed on Facebook.
And then you slipped and accidentally hit the arrow, so it was on them, and then you were temporarily paralyzed, so you had to observe them all.
No,
Facebook is just trying to ruin football games for you in a new and different way.
I just love the idea of James sitting there logging into Facebook to watch commercials and having to sit through the ads.
I didn't log in to watch commercials
before the ad plays.
I was on Facebook. One of my friends posted a commercial, and the first one I saw was the Amazon Alexa commercial where she gets a sore throat and all the different personalities replace her. That was something that was posted via me by one of my friends across multiple groups, and it showed up in my feed one morning. Another commercial that showed up early this week was the Doritos Mountain Dew commercial with Morgan Freeman and Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage part was awesome.
Oh, so good.
So yeah, that entire commercial was wonderful.
Yeah,
that was
excellent stuff.
Busta Rhymes it was. And
oh, you're Busta Rhymes.
Morgan Freeman was doing Missy Elliott.
Missy Elliott.
So yeah.
By the way, Missy Elliott sighting. How about that? Good to know.
That was a wonderful commercial. I don't know if anything else stood out. Oh, you know. The Tide commercial stood out because they did a good job with those as far as making them look like the previous commercials that they were interrupting. So, like, the lady who was dancing and thought her husband was Mr. Clean, and the Tide guy turns around and says it's a Tide commercial. The guy from the Old Spice on the horse saying, you know, ladies, look at me. I'm on a horse. And then he's on the horse, too, saying, oh, no, it's a Tide commercial. So that part was probably the most entertaining. The Tide commercials spoofing previous Super Bowl commercials.
Yeah, that was probably the best. Did anything stand out to you, Pat?
No, I would agree. I'd say Peter Dinklage and the Tide guys, or Tide guy, in that commercial series probably won the night. I didn't see any that were too awful. Like, even the Budweiser commercials that normally drive me crazy, I thought were all well done. You know, so I didn't see anything that was lame, derivative, like rehashed 50 times. Like, no talking animals. Thank God we're done with that. Like, for the most part, good, well-produced commercials.
Yeah, for me, my big takeaway was I don't feel like there was anything that was a big standout, right? Like there's no – I don't know that there's a commercial that we're all going to be standing around the water coolers tomorrow talking about, either good or bad. They were all fine. Some of them were funny. Some of them were poignant. There was a really good – Budweiser commercial where they were showing them canning water for disaster areas, which I thought was good.
Good. They should have played that earlier.
That was good.
Yeah. To me, there's like, I don't think there's anything out of this one we're going to be talking about next year or the year after. Like, you know, there's no Star Wars kid from this one or what have you.
There was Solo.
There was a Solo movie show. I was about to say, if you're a geek into sci-fi comic books, you got a Black Panther trailer, you got the Avengers Infinity Wars trailer, and you got your Star Wars solo trailer.
You got a Black Panther Lexus commercial?
Indeed.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so you got that going for you. All right. Anything else about the production that I'm not hitting on that you guys want to cover?
Jay mentioned it earlier, lack of replays. And I get it. Pretty much most of the replays that were shown were when Philly had the ball, when the Patriots had the ball, because they were so up-tempo, by the time they probably even thought about showing a replay of something, they were already on to the next play or lined up and getting ready to snap. So that's probably the only knock I have. It's just the lack of replays, because especially when something happened, when you're trying to figure out, okay, did he get the distance? Was this actually a catch or not? Outside of scoring plays, you really didn't have a chance to see that from the Patriots side.
Yeah, I wonder about that, though. And I don't know, maybe I'm wearing my tinfoil hat too tight right now, but I can't help but think that, you know, in games where you have a significant number of people watching, like, I mean, doesn't a replay just give people an opportunity to, like, second guess the call on the field, right? Like, gets the masses thinking that the referees aren't infallible. Like, I don't know. Am I crazy for thinking that maybe that's intentional, that they don't want you to get a better look at it in case you don't agree with what's happening?
Look, referees are human beings, too. They make mistakes. So, I mean, replay is designed, one, to get the game right. Two, it does provide a certain element for the fans at home watching to be like, the referee's an idiot. How could you miss this? Because we all yell at the TV and say that at some point during the football game.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it. So last thoughts before we sign off. We'll start with you, James.
Great season all around. We know the Patriots are the dynasty of this millennium, period, bar none. I mean, 8 Super Bowls, 5 wins, and this game tonight just being a culmination of everything that the Eagles have gone through this season. And I know teams always go through injuries, but the number of staggering injuries that the Eagles have had at key positions, Pro Bowl, All-Pro caliber players, Jason Peters, Carson Wentz, Darren Sproles, Jordan Hicks, Maragos, our kicker in the beginning of the year that Jake Elliott took over for. Any other team, you'd say their season would have been over, especially after losing a starting quarterback late in the season. And, yeah, I had some trepidation going into the playoffs, thinking that, okay, well, we won a division. We're already in the playoffs. Maybe we can hold on, win a couple of games, get a bye, and hopefully win one game and get to the conference title, and whatever happens, happens. And that's pretty much where I resigned myself. After the thumping of Minnesota, I pretty much was just the Super Bowl 50-50, no matter what. I just seriously believe from the moment we thrashed Minnesota, we had a legit chance to win this game, but I stayed cautiously optimistic because it is the Patriots. And love them or hate them, they basically are the class of the NFL for the last 18 years. It's just fact. And, you know, you love to hate them, you love rooting against them, but when they do what they do, the way they've been doing it for this long period of time, you have to take your hats off to them. And you know, Patrick, you've got one of the best quarterbacks ever, if not the best head coach of all time, and tonight's game was just a culmination of just basically a wonderful season between both teams.
All right, and Patrick, final thoughts from you.
God, like we have arguably the best quarterback that ever played, and he's going to enter next year 41. And I've been calling for his head for like 2 years, trying to trade that guy on every single podcast we're on.
That's true.
I got to stop because Garoppolo's no longer on the team, so I can't call for his head anymore. But like, man, you really couldn't have much more out of a quarterback than we had for Brady tonight, like in the loss. Right. So there's that. Unfortunately, that's kind of the beginning and the end for what's great about the Patriots right now. Right. Like our defense, horrible, really bad. I can't stress enough how truly bad that performance was from our entire defense, with the exception of maybe Malcolm Brown. We're also losing both of our coordinators, and who knows how many other coaches within that staff might defect with them. And we have real no youth on the team. So Like, I know it's silly considering everything James just said, but I'm wondering if we're witnessing the end of the dynasty. Like, and that kind of bugs me. Meanwhile, I look across my pretend field right here at James's squad, and I see a whole lot of youth and depth, like really all over that team. Like we just got torched by the. And yes, he did not out-duel Tom Brady, but he had a hell of a game in the Super Bowl, in two previous playoff games as well, and he's your backup quarterback. You know, like there's a guy I wouldn't mind trading. After tonight, what's Cleveland going to give you for that guy? What's Miami going to give you for that guy? Right? Like you are in a fine position to be able to trade away a commodity that you do not need, because your starting quarterback is probably 5 or 6 years younger than him anyway. You know, Philadelphia is in an awesome position right now. Hats off to the team. The fans are garbage. Like, I'm sorry, James, but like
on.
You've got among the worst fans in sports. But like the team itself.
I don't know what to talk
about. Yeah, I know you don't. But you know, I'm sure if you lived in Philadelphia, you'd pick a different team to root for. You'd be a Falcons fan.
Nope.
Anyway, congratulations on your win. Clearly well deserved. Like, I don't want to hear any nonsense about the refs or anything like that tonight. Like, there's nothing that Philadelphia did that we stopped on offense, and there's, you know, nothing that they did to cheat on defense or anything like that. It was just a good, well-played game that they won.
All right, there you have it. Super Bowl over, season over. We are officially going into the offseason. Eagles over the Patriots. For Patrick, for Pod Vader, for James, this is the Seahawks superfan Justin. Good night.
Next week will be next week. Today I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to go back home and hang out.